The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Saoirse Handy is with me, the audience editor and columnist with The Independent, and the freelance journalist Niamh O'Reilly as well, picking winners and sinners from the week gone by. Actually, how was trick-or-treating? Were you trick-or-treating last night?
I was. Do I not look like the bags under my eyes are not part of my face paint yesterday? They're real. Yeah, I was.
But chaotic.
The weather was great.
So
that made all the difference.
It was the number one topic of conversation was the weather last night. I had the conversation about the weather 40 times, last night.
It was great, though. It was, because some years
it's fierce miles, yeah,
for the kids, and it's just so dismal. So it was great. They had a great haul.
Like, I can say they had a good haul, yeah.
So much.
What outfits?
My eldest was like a steampunk vampire, which is very niche. And
very niche.
My youngest was Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay.
Very good.
Pretty good. And I was a skeleton with big bags.
Oh, you're one of
circles.
You're one of those, one of the parents who dresses up.
Oh, absolutely. I had the face done. Yeah. Why not?
No.
Immediately black mark again.
Yeah, exactly. Saoirse, who's your winner of the week?
My winner of the week, pains me to say, is my brother. My little brother. Yeah, it's not often that he gets a lot of praise from me. No, but my brother graduated from college yesterday, which was nice and fun. So I was down home in Cork to go to UCC, which I didn't
And was attend. This a day you thought you'd never see that he's the winner of the week?
And well, that and the graduating college.
You had such low expectations for him. He's never going to college.
He was just not somebody who we thought would want to go particularly much.
Okay,
and
yeah.
He was in the COVID, he was the year that they didn't have a leaving cert.
Oh, no.
Because of COVID. Yeah, well, no one was happier than him to not have a leaving cert, yeah. I tell you.
What a pity.
How was his first year of college then? Was it not normal?
Yeah, it wasn't great. They were just all online. And that's why we were like, I don't know if he's going to want to stick.
That's tough, though.
But he made it. Got to the end. Now, I did think that.
What did he study?
He did Arts International, much like myself. And he did Economics and Geography, much unlike myself. So he, Geography and Economics were his two. And weirdly, my sister is going to do the same, I think. Not the same subjects, but Arts International as well. So
okay.
Arts International is an arts degree, but you spend some
time
abroad.
Abroad. Yeah.
So where did you go?
I went to Canada.
Oh, nice. Where in Canada?
Montreal.
Very good.
That's why.
And where did your brother go for his year?
He went to Malta.
Oh,
which
nice.
I think he wants to move back to.
Malta's lovely.
We went to visit him there. It was lovely. So nice. It was just sunny and
great
beachy.
Weather again. The weather.
We're two for two on that so far.
Yes.
But it was, I did think when we got to the ceremony, is that what you call it? That if it was like a wedding and there was like an any objections part, that's where I would have stood up and gone, I object actually.
Are you sure?
I'm sure I referenced all those essays for him.
Oh, good woman.
But no, it was really nice and I was really proud of him. And it was really, I don't know, I get really emotional at any event. Ever. I just get overwhelmed. I remember when I started college as orientation, and because I was overwhelmed, I was going to start crying. And I was like, don't be that girl that cries on the first day of college. But I was just like, if I see a parade, I start crying, which if I'd been in Dublin last night, I could have seen a parade, but I didn't. And I was really worried I was going to cry, and I did not. But it's just a really nice day. I think graduations are so nice, if a little boring.
Yes.
They go on a bit.
They go on a little. And once you get to if you're doing it yourself, and once you get, over the nerves of crossing the stage and you're done, you're like, right, now I'm ready, give me a pint.
Remind me how they manage the rounds of applause. You don't clap every time someone goes up,
do
you?
We did.
What?
No way.
Yes,
even
that.
A lot of clapping.
Oh,
I know.
Come on, seriously.
Even if you were in absentia, we had to clap for you.
You clap for someone who couldn't even be bothered.
You weren't
turn
even
up.
There. Do you know what I mean?
They're on holidays.
Yeah.
He's an eye and appa.
I was trying to record my phone in one hand and kind of slap my arm to clap with the other.
Oh no.
And it was really hot in there, and I was like, and then I was counting because I had the bachelor's and a couple of masters and a few doctors, and the doctors have the hats, kind of plush hats.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of trying to look up and see how many of them were to try and count down the time of when can we get out of here, not that I don't think they deserve wonderful applause for getting a doctorate, but I was done by that point.
Yeah.
And I was counting all the hats and I was like, Mom, there's 10 hats there. It's fine. So that was fine. The 10 did theirs. And then they were like, and now will the people for this PhD be upstanding? And then 10 more stood up. And I was like, oh my God, I've miscounted the hats. We're going to be here forever. But it did eventually end. And we did all end up going for a lovely lunch. So he's my winner. I'm very proud of him.
Well done.
Fair play to him. Where did you go for lunch?
We went to, this is not going to resonate with either of you, I'd say, the Elm Tree in Glenthorne in Cork.
Oh, lovely.
A lovely little event.
Sounds nice.
Yeah. You celebrate anything. It's kind of on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere, but it's lovely. Right. And they do this like unbelievable like carved wreath, and it was so nice, and my grandmother came for a cup of tea. It was lovely.
Nice.
It was really
nice. Went to Isaac's for my lunch after my graduation from UCC.
Oh, I didn't know you went to UCC.
Yeah.
We there you go. This is great.
I know. There you go. There you go. Who's your sinner of the week, Niamh?
Simon Harris.
Oh.
Simon Harris. Because he said, and I quote, "I like elections on a Friday. It's a good day to have an election." Good for who? It's not good for the parents who are going to have to take the day off to look after the kids whose schools are closed.
Oh, there's no school.
For
yeah.
polling stations.
My kid's school is not a polling station.
Yeah, well, mine isn't either. But on principle, I think it's just, it's absolutely crap.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were about to say, on principle, I'm taking them out of school anyway.
But maybe I will, yeah.
Just well, heap fuming, to fair.
Heap problems on myself. But it's just like every year, practically, it's a weekday. And I don't know why he's going on and on about Friday is a great day. Why can't we have them on a Saturday? What is the objection? There's no data to show that it negatively affects turnout if you have it on a Saturday. It makes sense. You're not going to have to close the schools. You're not going to have to put extra heartache on parents who have to juggle. And I hate when it's just dismissed as, oh, well, you just have to make alternative arrangements. No, you have to either take the day off or you have to call in favours from grandparents and friends and stuff. It is an absolute headache.
Yeah.
And no parent wants it. So look, Simon, you might think it's a good day for an election, but I think a Saturday is going to suit a hell of a lot more people, and you're not going to piss off the parents of the country who I presume you want to vote for you. So it just got my hackles up.
It did.
Also, if I was in a school that didn't close and everyone else was, that's kind of annoying.
Well, your kids would be annoyed. They'd be like, well, my friend has the day off. You know, so there's a load of other things that goes with it. But I just think, like, what is wrong with Saturday? Do you guys have any objections to voting on Saturday?
I don't, but there's turnout tends to be lower on a Saturday
than a Friday.
Yeah, apparently. That's the reason they'll give.
I honestly don't buy it.
I think they just have a disregard for the reality that lots of houses now have two people working.
Absolutely.
And you see that all the time. I bumped into a fella earlier today, and he was given out because he had to drive his kid up to play a school's hurling match from Kilkenny. It was up in like Athenry or something. And all the parents had to do lifts. And he was like, It's a working, just because the teachers are all off this week. We can't organise a bus. We're all off. Will you just give lifts?
And
we have jobs.
Yeah. I know. And it's the way it's just, well, you know, it'll be fine. You'll just have to make alternative arrangements. It's really bloody hard. Like, if you're a parent who doesn't have family nearby or friends you can call on, you have no alternative but to take the day off, or one of you has to take the day off. And it's you can't always do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, your work is important, you might have something big going on or whatever. Like, it just, I feel like it just disregards parents, you know, and it just says, Asher, they'll manage, it'll be grand. And I just think, no. No, Simon.
An inauspicious start to the general election campaign. Being a sinner of the week.
Getting the hackles up.
Oh my gosh.
And he hasn't even confirmed the date.
Oh my gosh.
We're fairly sure it'll be a Friday.
Before we go to the news, can I ask you a question, both? Now that Halloween is done and dusted, no more trick-or-treating or parents dressing up as skeletons. Christmas, when does that start?
Oh.
Do the decorations for Halloween go up and Christmas ones come straight down?
I like a little window. I think, like, by the time Christmas comes around, I feel like we're all Christmased out. So I like to prolong it a little bit. But I'm not someone who's against starting like mid-November.
Oh,
but we have this weird thing. I don't know why, but the Michael Bublé Christmas album is like my family's Christmas album of choice. And I don't know what it is, but we decided ever since my dad passed years ago, his birthday would have been 3rd of December. For some reason, we made this arbitrary rule that 3rd of December was the first day that you can listen to Michael Bublé's Christmas album in his honor. Oh. Not that I think he even particularly liked Michael Bublé.
Right.
But we've just made this asinine rule, and I can't. Every single year, as it gets closer, I'm waiting. And because I love that album, and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. So for me, December 3rd is like when I can uninhibitedly, that's probably not real,
unleash Bublé.
Michael Bublé and have like, and really dig into like a Christmas feeling. But I can kind of do things like, I can watch, I always think Love Actually is a good measure because that film starts 6 weeks out from Christmas.
Ooh.
So I think that you can watch it then. I love Love Actually.
Oh no,
I love Love Actually. You can start it when the film says Christmas is kind of starting for me. So like, give me another 2 weeks.
I do have a terrible confession to make. I put a Christmas doormat out this morning. With little robins on it.
And everything.
Oh, actually. Stop. So the door looks really weird. It still has all the Halloween decorations up and like a weird Christmas doormat.
And why? What possessed
because
you
it was
to do that?
Cute and there's robins on it. That's and I true. Really like it. And also, if you have kids now, they move on quick. So, you know, it's going to be Santa list probably next week or two. So they're going to want, oh, can we get the decorations down? They're going to be asking when the elf. Oh, that little, you know what, will be arriving, the elf on the shelf.
That off creeps me out. I have no
so
kids
creepy.
And that off creeps me out.
And I, like, up until recently, I took a stand. I was like, we're not having the elf on the shelf in our house. We're just not doing it. No. And, like, I had to cave in because all the other kids in the class had one. And it was like, my kids were like, oh, why don't we have an elf? And I was like, no, Niamh. No, stay firm. Stay firm on this. But I didn't. I caved and the elf arrived in our house.
The elf arrived.
So the elf will be coming back this year. We've got the Santa list. They're going to want the decorations up. As I said, the Christmas mat is on the door. So, you know, look, we're basically there. I might as well throw the tree up this weekend. Sure, look it. Get on with it.
Yeah. Get on
Why
with
not?
It.
Get up and
get on with it.
Get the tinsel
Happy
down.
Christmas, everybody.
Woohoo!
Saoirse, who's your sinner of the week?
My sinner of the week are the great Swiss people that are mean to animals. That's a very broad case of people to call in. But because I went home this week to my family house down in Cork, we have two rescue cats at home. We had a rescue dog until he passed away for like 12 years. We're big on the rescue pets in our house. And every time I look too hard at those cats, I get really sad because someone was mean to them. And I just like our
cats parades. Passing out ceremonies.
I know. I'll cry at anything. Aww. But particularly when cats are just asleep and you think about their cruel history. Because our oldest cat, Lydia, she's maybe like 13, 14 now. She's an old lady and she hates this new kitten that we have. It just runs all over her. She's actually two now, but she runs all over. But the smallest one we just found in, my mom works in a school and she was just found in the greenhouse, like in the middle of the countryside, just trembling and tiny and skinny and cold, and now she's this absolute princess who just rules the roost. But anyway, the older cat, Lydia, we rescued her and they think she was found in the side of the road with a load of kittens. Oh. And someone went away to come back to like pick them up, and when they came back someone had left her and taken all her kittens away.
Oh my god.
What?
That's horrible.
They took all the kittens and left her there to die. So she doesn't have her kids. And she is just left there. Our old dog Oscar, he was jumped over a wall. And I just, like, first of all, I don't obviously cannot comprehend people who are just cruel to these animals that just want to love you. And they most often just want to like sit on your lap. And there was a call out from the DSPCA recently because they found, and this was really distressing, it was awful, they found this body of a horse.
Oh.
In awful conditions. And they were looking for, you know, people who might have dashcam footage or would have seen who dumped it or whatever it was. And I just can't fathom that there's people out there that just routinely, like, seek to hurt, you know.
It boggles the mind. What sort of person do you have to be to hurt?
I just don't get
an animal.
And secondary to that, I'm a huge, huge, huge believer on adopt, don't shop.
Yeah.
I really am. I used to work with somebody who, and we were talking, she was getting a dog, and I was like, would you not get, like, you know, there's so many dogs in the pounds you could adopt, like they all are lovely, they always want a home. And she was like, I'm not getting that, I wouldn't want a mutt. And I was like, have you seen my beautiful dog at home, Oscar? He's gorgeous.
Mutts are hands down way healthier than the so-called pedigree dogs that have loads of inbred imperfections into them.
Yeah.
You want a Heinz 57 variety that has a bit of this, a bit of that, and it's the sturdiest.
Yeah, they well, they live for ages, they love you.
Absolutely.
And like, I just think an animal with a story is so cute. Yeah. Like my housemate's a vet and she used to work down in West Cork and take in all these pets she ended up with like three cats, much to her parents' dismay, because she doesn't live there. So she got the three cats and then moved back to Dublin. But one of her cats, Jack Sullivan, has one eye because he came in like whatever way, he was just in a bad way in West Cork and she fixed him up and had to do the surgery on his eye and then she kept him. And now he's this one-eyed little soldier. And I just think that's such a nice story. Why would you buy a fancy cat when you can have Jack Sullivan? Well, you can't have Jack Sullivan.
Cyclops cat.
You can have a Cyclops cat who he actually
Lasers
can't.
Come out
he's taken. But yeah, I just... Please be nice to your animals, guys.
We nearly ended up with a cat. So there was a kitten abandoned at the end of our driveway.
Oh.
And it was like this mewing for ages. And eventually we found it. But then I wasn't sure if it had just been, if
the mom had left it, would come back.
So I said, and the kids were like, no, we have to take in this kitten. And I was like, well, I'm not taking in the kitten if the mother comes back. So we kind of did a deal. We said, we'll leave it for a while and go back down. And And if it's still there, then, you know, we'll ring the vets. We'll kind of see what we have to do. We'll deal with it. So we left it where it was, and someone else took it.
That's what happened.
Someone else took it.
Yeah.
So neighbours of ours up the road said, "Your cat, that kitten's gone, by the way." Because we'd asked around, you know, does anyone own a cat that had kittens? And the neighbour said, no, they said that he was walking the kids to school and the kitten had climbed a tree.
Oh.
And there was a fella climbing up the tree and he kind of asked, does anyone know who owns this kitten? And our neighbour said no. And he said, well, we'll mind it.
Well, have you heard of the cat distribution system? There's this kind of like, I think it's mostly a meme, but there's this kind of idea that it's when you most, the cat that needs a home will always be like paired up in the universe with someone who like really wants to give it one. Mm. And like when you least or most expect it, a cat will just sort of land on your lap.
Okay.
So like the smallest one, Nullig, because she was found in December 2 years ago, my mom had been saying for years she wanted another cat. She was like, I want another cat. I want Lily to have another friend. It'd be really nice. And lo and behold, who turned up in the greenhouse in the school but this tiny little kitten that needed a home.
Yeah. Aww. But she'd been saying it for years.
Well,
I love that. She'd been saying this thing for years.
She said it
and then,
more.
And then this incredibly, this cat.
She said it loads that December, actually.
Okay, if you manifest, a full moon would be visible on your birthday. I manifested it for about 40 years.
Amen.
And then there it was.
Lo and behold,
and there it was. Anyway, Niamh, who's your winner of the week?
Saoirse Ronan, after her little mic drop moment on Graham Norton show. You've probably seen the viral clips going around. She was...
For people who haven't, here's a little clip.
I find some of the techniques, though, that you learned, like some of the things Paul taught us, is how you can use... how you can use your phone if someone's attacking you, the butt of your phone to go over there.
Who's actually going to think about that, though? If someone attacks me, I'm not going to go, phone.
One second. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
I like
that's
the
what girls have to think about all the time.
Yeah.
Am I right, ladies?
So that was the moment that everyone was stunned
everyone
into silence.
Everyone was stunned into silence. So
the voices we could hear, the other voices were who?
There was Denzel Washington on the couch with her. There was Paul Mescal and there was Eddie Redmayne. So a male couch and, of course, Graham Norton, the host. So they were all chatting about Eddie Redmayne's new film called Day of the Jackal, and he had to be trained
in... I'm really looking forward to that. Sorry,
really,
as an aside.
Original, I would say go back to the original. Anyway, he had to be trained, obviously, in combat and stuff like that. And he was just telling an anecdote about how he was trained to use his phone as a weapon, and he was kind of laughing it off. And then Paul Mescal was like, yeah, why would you use your phone as a weapon? And Saoirse Ronan tried to interject like two or three times across the lads who were, you know, just talking about this whole thing of how silly it is to use your phone as a weapon. And she finally got her chance to speak and she goes, well, that's something girls have to think about all the time. And the silence, oh my God, was deafening. Now, it was only a moment or two, but it was one of those TV moments that was very long and very silent. And
it would have gone on longer, only she rescued everyone.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Paul Mescal just sort of turned and went, oh shit, what have I said? And the audience went silent. And then she went, am I right, ladies? And everyone clapped and everything moved on. But I just thought it was a brilliant moment because it was very apt. And it wasn't like a swipe at the lads who were on the couch with her. I think by Hollywood standards, they're probably green flag guys. Like, they're not problematic in any way. And they weren't saying this to sort of denigrate women or anything. I think they were just illustrating how men just don't think about these things at all. And women, unfortunately, do. And that this time of year, especially, the clock has gone back. If I want to go for a run after work, it's dark. If I want to take the dog out for a walk after work, it's dark. I have to think about, what street will I go down? Is it well lit? Is it safe? Do I have my phone with me? You know, have I told my husband where I'm going and what time I'll be back at? And all this sort of stuff that men just don't have to think about.
Yeah,
my husband wants
never.
To go for a run after work. See ya, I'm off for a run. Runner's on. He's gone. He probably doesn't even bring his phone. But it's these sort of things we have to factor into our day. Normal, everyday things, things that lads take for granted, that women have to put extra thought into and jump through extra hoops. And I wish it wasn't like that. I wish I could come home on the bus by myself at night time and not worry. I wish I could walk home in the dark. But I'm a realist and I know that it can be potentially, you know, unsafe. So I loved that she called it out. She could have sat there and said nothing and just let it slide.
Mm.
She wasn't doing it to make the lads look bad either. But I'm glad, you know, that she said it and maybe the pin dropped for them. Oh, yeah.
Especially like you said, the ones that like, and I saw people say that these are men in the industry that we all kind of think quite highly of and think that like they're, you know,
good guys,
the men like written by women or whatever that like, you know, are, they know what a period is or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, it's nice that even
it's
they
the full
can
stop at the end of a sentence.
Yeah, well done, Ciarán.
Thanks, lads.
But we'll tell you now after about another meaning. But I just think that when it's people like that in particular that like
even they don't
even they us. Yeah, and it's not, it's, it, she didn't say it in a snarky way that was like, oh well, you're not thinking about this. It was just like,
it just goes over.
I guarantee they don't consider it.
No, they don't.
No man does.
No.
Because, but to defend men, not to defend men, that's a,
yeah.
Like, why would you think about it all the time? When you don't have to think about it, you don't think about it. I guess the what we're, where you could say like where is a shortcoming is we don't, what we don't think about is that women have to think about it.
That's
their criticism.
Yeah, because you don't have to think about it.
Because I never have to think
so
about it.
If you're
I don't
not
have to think
about it.
Where will I run? Exactly. Is it going to be dark?
But like the thing about the phone, like what woman hasn't had her keys in her hand with maybe, you know,
between the fingers?
A key sticking out, a long one between your fingers, just in case someone comes up behind you and you have to do something. And yeah, I'd use my phone. I'd use whatever I had on me as a weapon. So she was dead right to call it out. And if it starts conversations like this and maybe gets guys thinking, you know, about it, I think it's good. It's a good thing.
All right. A worthy winner of the week, Saoirse Ronan. Stay with us. Saoirse and Niamh, going nowhere. We'll be back in a moment.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yeah, Saoirse Handy and Niamh O'Reilly are both still with me for the last bit of the show. We're nearly there. We actually kicked things off talking about Halloween. And Saoirse, you want to talk about, well, a Halloween movie. Is it a Halloween movie? It's a scary movie.
It's an apt movie to watch at Halloween. Yeah.
It is.
I am not a great, it is 28 Days Later, the 2002 Danny Boyle.
Classic.
Excellent Cillian Murphy.
22 years
old. Oh, I feel old.
Which is weird because I was made my mom watch it. I don't know if she was delighted about that. I got it's watchable at the end, which coming from Judy Walsh is like 5 stars. So I figured that we throw it, and I was telling her about the sequel that's coming out next year, I think 28 years later, and like it's practically is 28 years later, like
that's a prequel, isn't it? There was a sequel
Is the one that because I was like, I've seen 28 Days Later loads, I remember everything that happens, it opens in a farmhouse, and then we were watching it and I was like, that's not a farmhouse, that's the sequel. That's 28 Weeks Later with Jeremy Rayner, which is good but not as good.
So but had you ever seen this one?
I had, but ages ago, and I think my brother tried to tell me that we watched it again during COVID, which checks out. I did a lot of that watching pandemic movies during COVID. Some kind of some kind of masochist. I don't know. But it really holds up. I really like it. Great performances. Cillian Murphy is so young in it. I think he's like, I think he's my age. I just call myself super young. But I think he was 26. I'm 27. I think he was 26.
Yeah, that is young.
Well,
that
he looks really young in it, to be fair. And I forgot Brendan Gleeson was in it.
Yeah.
I forgot Chris Reckles was in it.
Yes, Brendan Gleeson's in it. Yes. A little blood falls off a crow or something, lands in his eye.
That's horrible. Gone.
Yeah.
He tries to save his daughter. Oh. And it was just, I really enjoyed it. Like, it does fall apart a little bit by the end, but in a fun way. As much as that can be fun. And I'm really excited for the sequel, but it just really held up. And I think, like, the things that it got me thinking about were, one, that the sequel is being shot on an iPhone. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes, that's right.
Now, I'm sure it's got a bajillion things attached to it.
And are the same people involved?
It's Danny Murphy. Boyle's involved. Cillian Murphy's coming back.
Oh, wow.
Spoiler alert, he lived in the movie. And there was a few other big names that I actually...
There are, and I
can't
think
what they are now. And I looked
up
the other day.
But it's a great cast.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to be... And I think if they like... I think it could do a really good job. Now, I guess it's interesting to think about like what happens 28 years after, you know, this kind of world-ending apocalyptic scenario. Mm. But I do think that films like that, when we watch them now, I think they're so much scarier than pre-COVID. Because, like, there's a sense that, you know, you're watching the opening act of the film and Cillian Murphy's wandering through, like, a deserted London. And you're, like, back when you first watched it, you're like, that could never happen.
I know.
An empty London. That's crazy.
It did.
And you're like, the checkpoints, like, there's no way they get everybody, like, you know, holding up. We did.
Would go
like,
home and stay home and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Watching things like, you know, the news reports of how things happening or how the whole thing started in the film. It's just... It's different.
It does.
And it's so much scarier, but I guess better as a result. I guess it's what horror films are looking for. So.
Yeah. No, it's a good one.
It's a good
really
one.
Good.
It's great.
Yeah.
Roller coasters, you want to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about sort of.
Or adrenaline
be careful
junkie
what
kids.
You wish for, okay? Because I am a roller coaster junkie. Love them. like went to all the big theme parks in America when I was younger. Loved them. The bigger, the better, you know, the faster, all of that sort of stuff. And I always hoped that when I had kids, they would like roller coasters and that one day we could go together and we'd have a big family holiday to Orlando, go on all the roller coasters, and that they'd be really into it as much as I was. So they're still only young. They're 5 and 7. So we went to Emerald Park, which is pretty much the only theme park we have here in Ireland.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So we went and we went on the new rides, the bigger rides that they have, which are fairly good now, you know, in comparison to, you know, they're proper roller coasters like. And my newly minted 5-year-old was like very excited and went on this particular roller coaster, which was fairly good now. Like it's kind of a boomerang one. So you go backwards first up in the air and then it shoots you back down through a track and then up. In the air on the other side of kind of the boomerang. So it's fast. I think it goes like 60 kilometers an hour or something like that. It's a proper roller coaster. And I had him, like he's only small, you know, he was just over the height limit. And I had him beside me and I thought, oh God, I'm going to hell. This is really bad. I should, like, what if he starts crying or freaking out, you know? And he's sitting there and his little knuckles are going white and like his face, you know, was like grimacing. And I was like, oh no. And we got off and he was like, again. And I was like, great, he loves it. Lads, 7 times in a row. 7.
Was there a queue or did you?
There was no queue.
So you could just keep going around and around and around.
So I couldn't even say, ah, love, there's a queue, you know. No, there was no queue. We literally got off, walked around the corner and went straight on. Oh my God. And he would have gone again. But I literally was on the floor by the 7th time. And this is from someone who loves roller coasters, G-force, all the rest. I think it was the fact that it was 7 times in a row and that I'm a bit older now. I'm 41 now. You know, I'm not in my 20s anymore. Like literally my head, I think the blood was just like spinning around in my head. Oh my God, I wasn't able. But they loved it. I've created some kind of adrenaline Frankensteins in my 2 kids. And I'm like, geez, if we ever do go to Orlando, I'm not going to be able to keep up with them.
Do you find even the first time on it, that you're a bit more nauseous now than you might have been in your
20s? No, not the first time. The first, even 5 times were probably all right.
All right, okay.
But it was, do you know what it is? If you've ever...
That magic 6th time on the roller coaster.
No, 7th time. But if you've ever been to like the big theme parks in Orlando, the thing is you can't go 7 times in a row because there's so many queues.
Yeah.
So you have a natural break between the really big roller coasters. And obviously, from a physical point of view, I think you need it. Like I couldn't go 7 times in a row on those big ones over there. And I don't think you're meant to. So
probably not. No. That's my worst nightmare.
Do you hate roller coasters?
I absolutely hate roller coasters. Oh, and I've been on some. I can't say that, like, you know, I've tried. Mm-hmm. I just, there is
not
just,
for you. Just yeah.
They're not for me. They just make me feel sick.
Yeah, well, maybe that's a physiological thing.
I think, yeah, it's not my fault. I'm not a coward.
You know, some people get car sick or motion sickness. It's the genuine.
I think the whole, like, I'm not scared of heights or anything. Yeah. I love heights. I'm not against that.
It's just the feeling
the feeling. And it's like, I'm not about it. And I went on one of these really big ones in Europe on a school trip, I remember, and I was so proud of myself and I was like, I'm going to buy the picture that they take of you because I was like, no one at home is going to believe that I went on this. It was called like Goliath or something.
Wow.
And Goliath. We got to the end and the friend that had been next to me had stuck his middle fingers up at the camera and they deleted it.
Oh no! So you don't even have
the picture. Proof, but I swear that I went on it.
We believe you.
A liar.
A liar.
All right, well, listen, that's our lot. Saoirse Handley, audience editor, columnist at the Irish Independent, Niamh O'Reilly, freelance journalist. Thank you both very much. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy election watching as well early next week.
Oh, I'm very excited. Yes. Popcorn is in. I can't wait.
Are we right in saying things will be starting late enough for us here? Like, I've got something to do Tuesday evening and I kind of want to be sat and watching.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to organise your diary for you.
Well,
but,
look, that's fine. I'll ask around. 5 hours.
Yeah.
Aren't they? I don't know. I'll figure that out.
It'll probably Wednesday morning you'll wake up. Like, as in, if you keep normal bedtime routines, you'll wake up to the news, Wednesday morning. Oh, probably. Yeah. Well, although, if he wins, it'll be done and dusted. If she wins, it'll go on and on.
That's true. Could be back in a few weeks. Yeah.
Anyway, we're broadcasting from New York City next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, from Fitzpatrick's Hotel. So the next time you hear me, we will be there. We will be in amongst all of it. New York, interesting, actually, might be the state that determines the outcome of Congress.
Ooh, oh, good place.
Yes,
exciting.
Exactly. You know, the people who are kind of allow or deny the president the power to do whatever they want over the next 4 years. So anyway, there's a huge amount to talk about. We're really excited about it. I'm sure everybody is. I will talk to you from New York City, 4 o'clock on Monday.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.